Hello, all you wonderful readers. Welcome back to Shelf Check, brought to you by the Carolina Manga Library. This month's episode is all about webcomics. These recommendations will all be series that you can read online and are independently published or on Webtoons, Tapas, or other comic repositories. As usual, we're going to recommend several series from different genres and tell you why they are amazing. As a reminder, we are only recommending series that are officially available in the US, either digitally or physically. This month's episode is brought to you by our wonderful patrons. Special thanks goes out to our honorary librarian, Sean Vahek, and our library assistant, DB Explorer. Stay until the end of the podcast to learn more about joining our Patreon. So with all that out of the way, let's get reading. So I've been reading webcomics and webtoons since, oh Lord, since the early 90s, I want to say. Since really, as soon as people figure out that they can make their own website and they can start putting out their own original comics instead of having to publish them and put them up into comic book shops to hoping somebody would ever read one, they've pretty much been around. They were such a big thing in the early 2000s in the United States that some webcomic artists even were like guests of honor. I remember in the early 2000s, I want to say it was 2000 or 2009, either 1999 or 2000. Fred Gallagher, who still writes actually the incredibly popular webcomic Mega Tokyo, he was like the first American author to really get picked up by anybody, and he was actually a guest of honor at Anime Central. So since then, there's a webcomic for pretty much any genre you can think of, and a few that actually invented their own genres that we'll get into later. So these recommendations are going to be stuff that some of it I've been reading for 20 plus years and it's still going. Some of them are brand new, some of them became uber popular, some of them are a little on the rare side, but I will make sure to plug where you can read each of these, including their own websites. So let's get started. So the first one I want to talk about is a series called Aurora, and you can read it at comicaurora.com. And this is a series, it's a high fantasy series that is written by an absolute master of storytelling. The art in the beginning is all web comics start off with pretty interesting art, and they get better as they go. But Aurora was a rare one where it started off and the art was already really good. It's amazing now, 5, 6 years later since they've been writing it, but it starts off very, very good. So very basically, the story is about this world where there are gods for pretty much everything, okay? So there's a god for the ocean, there's a god for storm, for a big storm that scared a bunch of people and they made a god out of it. There's gods for towns and cities, and they create a guardian to protect them from the outside. And there were gods that were like the primordial beings, and like earth, fire, life, things like that. And they're all dead. All the primordial beings are dead, and they all died to keep this big dark dragon, which is basically the personification of the void, to keep him imprisoned. So our story starts off at this little town called Vash, and it's very great. It's a fun town. Their god is really nice. He's got long blonde hair, and he's kind of a jackass, and he's kind of very smug. And he manifests whenever they need him. And until then, he's like this ephemeral kind of being, kind of hovering over the city. So one day, the city starts getting attacked by these really, really big chimera things, and they're really cool looking. And the people of the town are all scared, and they're like, oh no, we must summon Vash. So they summon Vash, and Vash isn't a real person. He's a god, so he doesn't really have a body. So every time he incarnates, he creates himself a body out of nothing. So he incarnates and he goes to fight the chimeras, and it's great. And he beats them all off, and it's like, haha, never come near my town again. And all of a sudden, this woman walks out of the rubble, and she says, oh, good, you came out. This was so much easier than I thought it was going to be. And he's like, okay, whoever you are, go away from my town. And she's like, oh, what town? And she kind of snaps her fingers, and the town, which is like built into the side of a mountain, just completely gets destroyed. Like, literally, the mountain closes around the city and kills everyone instantly. And Vash, who's outside the city, is immediately cut off from his entire power supply and all of his belief structure. And like, he's known these people for their entire lives. He's known them for generations of their families, and they're all dead. So he's freaking out. And the scary lady walks up and she stabs him with a special glowy knife. And his essence kind of goes down out of his body into the knife, and his body falls to the ground and he's dead. And she looks at the knife and she's like, oh, we're going to have so much fun now. I knew I could capture a god if I tried hard enough. And she walks off and she leaves nothing behind her but, you know, ruin and a dead body. So 3 or 4 days pass and all of a sudden the dead body stands up and it wakes up and he is now this basically soulless golem who has to travel throughout the world to try to find Vash because he doesn't have, you know, he's Vash. He's Vash's body, but he has his own personality and his own will now. So the story follows him as he gets wrapped up in the whole bigger overarching plot. And the story is just so good. It's so good. It updates 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And it hasn't missed an update as long as I've been reading it. It's got a ton of great, some of the best world building I've ever read in any comic. I cannot wait for this to come out in print form, which should be sometime next year, I believe the author said. Also, if you may have already heard of this author, her name is Red, and she has a really, really popular YouTube channel called Overly Sarcastic Productions, and she is the mythology side of the history and mythology YouTube channel of Overly Sarcastic Productions. The story is going to suck you in very quickly. The characters are all well-rounded. I don't know where the story is going. She's very good at burying the lead and burying a bunch of like little hints of what's going to happen. It's the kind of series that you're going to read and you're going to get sucked into it really, really fast. So Aurora, you need to go read it. And again, it's comicaurora.com. So Aurora, like the sky. So yeah, go give it a shot. So my next recommendation is going to be from the horror genre, and it's a webtoon, but it's also a young adult novel series, and it's called Nothing But Bones. And it's one of those wonderful urban fantasy series where everything is, everything in our world is there, but there's also this underworld basically that you can also be a part of. So the story follows this girl who she's like a really, really good autopsy specialist. So her mom finds, you know, creatures, and a lot of them look like people, but she finds creatures, and this girl dissects them, and they sell off pieces of the creatures to get different, you know, different boosts and different medical powers, things like that. And then one day her mom brings home a boy, and guy's still alive. And she's like, okay, daughter, I want you to go kill the kid and dissect him because he's immortal. And if we sell off pieces of him, then we can make just a crap ton of money because whoever eats pieces of him will then become immortal too. So she goes downstairs and she goes to the basement where she keeps everything locked up, and she can't kill this guy. Okay, she just can't do it. And she lets him go and pretends to be hurt and things like that. And that's when she finds out that she herself is actually one of these immortal creatures and she can't be killed either. So she goes on the run. Her mom's trying to kill the boy and she won't let her kill her. And then she gets lost in the great, you know, monster underworld. And it's a really wonderfully dark series where, you know, don't trust anybody. Everybody's out to get you. The eating pieces of the creatures is just creepy. It's so wonderfully creepy. And it's a series that'll keep you guessing, which is what really kept me interested in it. I found the webcomic so interesting that I actually went and read the books. And I actually enjoyed the webcomic more. The books tended to go a little more towards the, you know, tragic romance side of the whole thing, whereas the webcomic really focuses on the underworld and the creatures and the behind the scenes to the actual, you know, love triangle story. So if you like urban fantasy, you will really, really, really like Nothing But Bones. And you can read it on Webtoon, which, of course, if you don't have the Webtoon app by now, you've been listening to me for over a year now. If you haven't downloaded Webtoons on your phone, I can't help you anymore. It's a great repository of just original stories that you can just get obsessed with. So, Nothing But Bones on Webtoon, or you can go read the actual novels. I apologize in advance for how fast you're going to get addicted to our comedy series. I've been reading this series since literally 2007, and it's still bloody going. Okay, our comedy recommendation this month for webcomics is a series called Darths and Droids. And it's darthanddroids.net, not an ampersand, the actual and. So darthsanddroids.net. Basically, this dude was following along another webcomic, and it was called, what was it called? It was Lord of the Rings something. It was called DM of the Rings, which is basically the idea that what if the Lord of the Rings was actually not a huge fantasy sprawling story, but in fact a very disgruntled DM trying to keep his characters and his players from, you know, killing everything in sight. So when that ended, one of the readers thought, wow, that sounds so much fun. I wonder if I can do that with Star Wars. So what they did is they screen cap the Star Wars movies. And I don't know if they've actually done the TV shows yet. I'll have to go back and read the extra stuff. They screen capture scenes from the Star Wars movies. And they tell the story of the Star Wars movies as told by completely insane role players and their very long-suffering DM. They started off with episode one, starting off with the prequels, and like he literally introduces it as a space role playing game, and like Qui-Gon, the guy playing Qui-Gon Jinn, is one of those like guys that almost always plays a tank, and he's just trying to break the game so he can go kill everybody and steal everybody's stuff, and like the very very first episode, they go through the whole prologue. And then the first line from Qui-Gon is like, wait, what? I'm still looking at the equipment list. Can we buy stuff? Can we buy weapons? What do you mean I can only afford a laser sword? That's lame. I want a blaster. This is a space game. We should have guns. And it's oh my God. I didn't realize how much of my humor, now that I'm rereading this, comes from this darn series. If you've ever heard the joke, there's always a bigger fish, you know, summon bigger fish. There's a line in the first movie of Star Wars where he said, you know, there's always a bigger fish. Well, it turns out that's a Jedi spell. And so throughout the entire series, they're constantly saying, I summon bigger fish. And it's so stupid. And then you get in, as you keep reading and you read through and you experience all the Star Wars movies through the eyes of these idiots. As new characters get added, they just get more and more people. And they actually have lives outside the game. Like two of the players start dating and then they get married. And it's just, it's so stupid and funny and just such a great idea. And there's really been nothing else since Darths and Droids that really does the whole screen capture. It was back in 2007 when it started. There's big, you know, big warnings on every single page. So this is a parody. Don't sue us, LucasWorks. And they've been going, let's say it's 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. So many years. Oh my God. So many, almost 20 years now that they've been doing this. So at this point, I don't think Lucasfilm's going to come after them. But just think of every time you're watching, especially the prequels, when you're sitting here watching, like, God, that is the stupidest decision. Why would that character make that decision? Well, it's because the player made that decision, not the actual character. And it just makes the movies make so much more sense. Oh my God. They're so funny. And you don't even have to like Star Wars. I think this is almost for people that didn't like Star Wars. Because you can go through and you can just laugh at every weird decision and weird bit of character development that comes along. It's just a really, really, really fun series. So I really hope you check it out. Again, it's darthsanddroids.net. And just enjoy it. I would love to hear your comments if you want to jump on our Discord and tell me about it, because this is so good. There's a reason it's still going. And right now they're into the current films. So like Finn is a character and Rey, and it's so stupid. I love it so much. So my next recommendation is going to be our action series, and it's going to be another webtoon, and it's called Of Swamp and Sea. And this is a story about a monster hunter. This guy is hired by people to come in and kill monsters that are terrorizing the human folk. And he gets hired by this girl named Mercy, who says that this big ghostly wolf thing came out of the woods and killed her father, and now she wants our hero to come kill it. So he shows up and she leads him out in the woods where her father was killed, and he finds the big ghost wolf thingy and he's defeating it, and it runs at the girl and jumps into her and then possesses her. And so she starts, you know, she manifests claws and things like that. She's almost like a werewolf type thing. And she's, and our hero is really upset about it. He's like, oh no, I have to kill this nice girl now. And she's so sweet and I don't want to do this. And all of a sudden the ghost thing disappears and it's just her standing there. And she begs him, you know, not to kill her. So that I have it under control. It can't take control of me. And that's when it kind of clicks in his brain that these creatures, that he's been killing have minds of their own, and they have, you know, they've been misunderstood this whole time. So he's still going to go off and fight monsters, but he's going to take her with him to try to get her cured and exorcised of the demon wolf that's in her. And he's a little wiser now, so he'll only kill monsters that are true monsters, and he won't kill things that are just misunderstood or need help. So it's a really, really good story that's going through. Of course, he's got a tragic backstory, because of course he does. And she's got a lot of baggage too, and they kind of grow together, and she helps him be a better person. And he helps her kind of become a more whole person, because she's lived in a farm in the woods, you know, her whole life. She's never really gone anywhere. So the world building is super good, and the character development is just, it's the right amount of slow. It's not like there's a huge, you know, character-driven arc every single episode of this, but it's a slow burn kind of action series. It's got some great action scenes where they're fighting different kinds of monsters, and then there's something stalking him, which is creepy as heck. But at the same time, it's also a story just about these people. And it's the kind of story that you're really going to get sucked into and you're really going to enjoy, because you're not going to know what's going to happen next. You don't know if she's going to get the wolf thing exorcised, and you have to deal with the prejudices of when people find out she's possessed, they all try to, you know, kill her and shun her, and then Jonah has to protect her. And it's just such a really, really good series. It's on its hiatus between chapters right now, but it's got plenty of episodes for you to go enjoy. There's over 100 episodes of it. And the art has been consistent since day one. The updates are consistent since day one. So it's not one of those ones that constantly goes on hiatus, which is nice. But it's the kind of series you can really get invested in. So it's Of Swamp and Sea, and it's on Webtoon. I really think you should check it out. So our romance recommendation this month is one that it's a Webtoon that I'm going to recommend that is a complete slice of life romance. And it has nothing fantasy about it at all. And it is completed, so you can actually go read the whole thing. And it's the story of a man who is he's got chronic anxiety and almost PTSD about an abusive relationship he was in. He's got like an emotionally abusive relationship that he's still kind of getting over. And he makes friends with this woman that lives in his apartment complex, and she has a little boy. And she's got her own baggage about the boy's father and her life now. And she's just the sweetest little sugar muffin ever. She's like this elementary school teacher, and she's so cute, and she's plus size, and I love her. And she's just so good. And she and a main character become friends, and they get involved in each other's lives, and they kind of help each other heal from their past traumas until they can form an actual relationship together. And they're so bloody cute. It's the kind of cute that's like you're gonna want to go have a piece of meat or like a nice piece of bread afterwards. It's that sugary sweet. But it's also very realistic. It's written from the point of view of somebody that really understands the issues that their characters are going through. It's the kind of story where if you have had a similar experience to either of these characters, you will really feel what they're going through, and you really want them to get together, and you really want to just kind of reach through the screen and hug both of them. The art is really soft. It's got a lot of like fading effects, which is really nice. It's the kind of story that you can read a piece of it, read a chapter of it or so, and then put it down and then come back to it and put it down and come back to it. And it's not one that, I mean, you can binge it. You can absolutely binge it if you just want to get through and see what happens. But I was really happy that I read one chapter a week when it was coming out, because it's just the slow burn of the romance and the character development that really, really makes this series. So it's called Lemon Soda. What is it? Lemon Soda and Coffee, which is just such a fun title. It's on Webtoon. And like I said, lemon soda and coffee. Just go read about these little people and be part of their lives. You will enjoy every minute of it. Just make sure you've got a nice piece of protein afterwards because it's a lot of sugar. So our sci-fi series for this particular recommendation month is going to be another Webtoon. Sorry, there's a lot of Webtoons on this because it's just... It's the current repository of comics, and I don't want to send you to a bunch of old stuff that you'll have to go find the Wayback Machine for. But the one I want to tell you about this time for sci-fi is called The Croaking. Yes, The Croaking, like frogs croak. And it is a story that takes place in a world where everybody is a bird person. Everybody has wings, everybody is a different species of bird, and the different kinds of bird you are determines where you are in the societal hierarchy, okay? So, like, the top of the food chain, basically, are the eagles, and they're kind of the politicians, and they rule everything. The doves are the religious folks. The hawks are the soldiers. And then you have the crows, and the crows are the lowest level of society. They're the most intelligent people out there, but they are kept very downtrodden, and everyone blames them for the last war, the great war that tore everything apart, that they're all healing from. Everyone says that it was the crows' fault. So they're treated as basically second-class citizens. And our story follows a crow and a seahawk, an osprey actually, who make friends one night, well, for a little while actually. They meet at night over this big cliff, and they bond and they become friends and hopefully something else later. But then they break off because the osprey is going to this big military school. And it turns out that the crow is also going to this military school, but not because he got in, but because the political power structure has come to him. And he is now like a spy and like an underground agent for the government. So this is the kind of story that's like, if you like your James Bond, your spy stuff, holy crap, you will love this. Okay. The Croaking is one of those great stories that if they ever decide to animate this, it'll be like the best thing that you've ever watched for adult animation. It's got, it's not, definitely not written for teenagers. It's very, very deep and very, very convoluted. It was written almost like a spy novel, which is great. And they've got, of course, the sci-fi elements are there. They've got, you know, your ships and your blasters and your outer space kind of stuff. And you've got the geopolitical power struggles of all the different types of birds and you deal with racism and prejudice against the crows. And then you find out that there are hybrid birds, you know, like an eagle and a sparrow got together and they made a little baby, and it's like a eagle sparrow. And it's such a good series. It's one of the ones that I've been reading it almost since it came out because the premise was so intriguing, but it's also coming out in book form. So I'm buying all the books as they come out. Whenever they do another Kickstarter, I've backed it. I'm usually backer like 15 to 20. That's how fast I back their Kickstarters. They're so good. This is the kind of story that you have got to read slowly. Otherwise, you will get lost in all the detail and all the things that are going on. And there's... Ooh, excuse me. Sorry, guys. It's Sunday. There's so many characters in this that for a while in the beginning, I almost had to have like a cheat sheet. It's like, okay, who is that? What do they do again? What's their motivation? But that fell away pretty quickly as I just really got into the story. I was like, okay, I know who that is. Move on. So, The Croaking on Webtoon. Very, very, very deep kind of spy type series. I hope you enjoy it. So I have one more recommendation for you for this month, and I'm kind of calling it the unique category, which if you've ever been to one of my live action panels, the unique is one that I could stick under a different category or a different genre, but I just really, really want to talk about it. And it's the Avatar The Last Airbender comics, which are now happily being published on Webtoon. If you did not have a chance to read these as they were coming out, oh wow, you're missing something here. So at the end of the Avatar The Last Airbender series, the original series, the creators knew that their series was gonna end, and they finished their story and they were very happy with it. But as you know, in the very last episode of the Avatar The Last Airbender series, there is the question is left to us, you know, what happened to Zuko's mother? And that was in case they got a special or a spinoff or something, and they didn't ever get one. So they're like, okay, so why don't we just start writing comics? They got Nickelodeon's permission, and the original authors got together and like, all right, we're going to tell more stories that bridge the gap between Avatar The Last Airbender and Korra, which was just starting to come out. So they started writing stories that took place immediately after the Avatar series finished. So the stories are about the building of Republic City, the creation of the metal bending school that Toph runs, and yes, right now they are dealing with what happened to Zuko's mother. It also starts to prelude the war between the waterbender war of the North and the South that's mentioned in Avatar and in Korra. And because it's written by the same authors as the original show, it's got all the characterization that you love. It's got all the same comedy, the same bits of drama, the same bit of character building, and it's just more of what we already love. And I'm so happy that it's being put out on Webtoon now, because it can reach a whole new audience. Because a lot of folks never knew that these even came out. You know, we have all the books in our manga library, in the traveling manga library, and it never fails. Somebody will walk in every single time I sit at the library and they're like, oh wait, there's Avatar comics? Ooh, I want to read these. And they never stay on my shelves. So I'm really glad that they decided to go with Webtoon to put out what they've already published. And I'm really hoping that they continue to publish more after they get through the books that they've already put out. So the whole first book is already on there, and it's called The Promise. And that's basically dealing with Zuko coming to terms with being the Fire Lord and being his father's son, and being afraid that he's going to become his father. And he makes Aang promise that if he ever does go evil, he wants Aang to kill him. Book two, of course, is called The Search. That's what's going on now, and that is the search for Zuko's mother. And that's when we get some more characterization of Azula, and we start exploring Azula's paranoia and what drives her crazy in the series. It delves more into that. It's so good. Oh my gosh, I love these books so much, and I'm so glad I get to read them again, thanks to Webtoon. And again, I really hope that they continue, because I really want to see what happens next in their story that bridges the time gap between, you know, Avatar and Korra. All right, welcome to the Q&A portion of the podcast, where we answer your questions from our Discord server. If you are not part of our Discord yet, you can visit our website, www.carolinamangalibrary.com. And you can find a link to our social media there, and you can join our Discord. We've got people talking about manga and comics and anime and all kinds of fun things. And if you join our Patreon, you actually get access to a couple of special different channels on the Discord that other people can't see. Things like announcements and sneak peeks of our merch and other things cool that are cool like that. So our first question is one that I apologize. It's been a little bit coming to answer this one. I know it's been suggested a couple times, but here's the question. There's a lot of chibi manga spinoffs. What do you think of them, and Overlord the Undead King O in particular? Now, to be completely honest, I have not read Overlord the Undead King O. Okay? I have not read it. I'm sorry. I haven't had time. But the fun thing is there's the chibi spinoff thing has been a thing for almost as long as I can remember. The first one I ever really remember reading was the Oh My Goddess series back in the 90s and early 2000s. They had a Adventures of the Mini Goddess series, and these chibi manga spinoffs, they're all supposed to be they're all gag manga. They're just ways to take the characters that you've already loved from a certain series and put them into absurd situations. It's just supposed to keep the energy alive and the interest alive in the series. I haven't liked very many of them, not gonna lie to you. I don't really enjoy gag manga that much. And they're not even really the same characters that you fell in love with in the manga in the original. Like, for example, in The Adventure of the Mini Goddess, they're just little chibis that happen to, in my opinion, they are just, they wanted to tell these funny stories and they couldn't get their original characters. So they made, you know, just chibi, they made their unique characters look like the characters from the regular manga. So I do not really care for the chibi mini spinoffs. A lot of people really do, and that's perfectly fine. You can like whatever you want. There is no wrong way to love reading. They're just simply not my cup of oolong, but I'm glad that they are keeping series alive. And our second question for this month is there any useful reading skills that are acquired when reading right to left? So that's an interesting question. A lot of people say no, because it's just reading backwards. But being that the career that I've chosen, I have a little bit more insight into literacy skills and how you build them. And what pops into my head is that reading from right to left, what it does is it breaks your pattern. Okay, it breaks American readers' patterns. Okay, we read left to right, but by becoming accustomed to the idea that you can read right to left or up and down, it opens up the possibility of different ways to interpret works. The thing that keeps popping into my head, there's this really, really funny YouTube channel that I follow called Mini Minuteman, and he debunks pseudoscience and pseudoscience archaeology. He's really, really funny. He did this special on the Grave Creek Stone, which is this stone that had a bunch of markings on it that they found in a Native American burial mound, okay? And nobody could figure out what language it was. Nobody could figure out how to read it. And the Mini Minuteman makes a really, really, really interesting observation of everybody who tried to read this stone read it left to right. And they tried to equate it to a European language when, you know, it could be anything. You could read it up and down. You could read it backwards. You could have read it diagonally. It doesn't matter. It breaks the things like the Great Creek Stone, which, by the way, was complete, you know, fabrication anyway. But reading right to left, reading, you know, hieroglyphs up and down, reading the different languages that exist on this planet can really open up your mind to what literature can be. It can create new ideas, much like the Darts and Droids series we talked about earlier. The author doesn't draw a single thing of it. It doesn't draw a single frame of anything in the series. It's just screen captures with text. But it's still hilarious, it's still original, and it's still a comic strip. So no matter how you read, there's no wrong way to love reading. There's no wrong way to read something. There's no wrong way to interpret something. If you interpret something in a different way than somebody else possibly did, then you have a new perspective on what that piece of work can be. So does it really have any useful reading skills? Not per se, but it does break your pattern of reading. So that's what I think. We don't have very many announcements right now. This is still our summer break. Our first event back will be in October. I can't announce it yet. We're just waiting on the final details to come about for that. But we've got at least 3, if not 4 more appearances coming for this year. We're already starting to get invitations for 2025. We're hoping to get a lot more appearances in 2025. If you want to see us at an event near you, go ahead and send an email or a Facebook message or something to that event and have them reach out to me and invite us. Remember, we are like literacy vampires. We have to be invited in. We can't, unfortunately, just show up and take over one of their rooms. As much as I would love to have like a Guria manga library, just show up somewhere, kick down the door and throw all the shelves up in a room and say, hey, welcome to the manga library. Gosh, that'd be so much fun. But no, we have to be invited in. So tell the events around you that you know, we're looking for things to fill up our year and that we're interested in coming to your school, your library, your convention. Thanks for joining us in this month's episode of Shelf Check, brought to you by the Carolina Manga Library. This episode was written and recorded by the Carolina Manga Library and edited by Noodleboy Media. You can find information about Noodleboy Media on all social networking sites. We'll be back next month with So Bad It's Good. Remember, if you're interested in supporting the library, consider becoming a patron. Our patrons get access to the podcast a day early, as well as behind-the-scenes fun like transcripts and bloopers, which are coming this month. We're also on X, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find links to all this on our website, www.carolinamangalibrary.com. And until next month, we'll see you in the stacks.